There's always an announcement I leave out. You can tell I'm not a finance guy. You can give to the church down front and online. You can give to the backpack ministry. All these things you can find on our website and down front before and after service. And good morning again.
Good morning.
We're going to continue our study in Acts together this morning. We're going to finish out chapter 8 today. Acts 8, 26 through 40 this morning. We're going to take a look at this interaction with the Ethiopian eunuch today. Have you ever been surprised in your life how something turned out? Whatever it was, it had disaster written all over it, but it ended up being okay. Or maybe how you knew how it would end up, but the process of getting there was shaky. Your path was unexpected. We're entering football playoffs. They're going on this weekend, yesterday, today. We know March Madness is around the corner, a big sporting event. So if you think about it in these terms, maybe it's a wild card winning it all. They just kind of slide into the playoffs by the edge of their teeth, and they end up winning the whole thing. Maybe it's maybe in basketball, in terms, it's a team you knew would lose. Maybe you knew they were overranked, but you didn't know it would go down the way it did. You didn't know they would lose first, like a 1 versus a 16. Maybe you didn't like that 1 seed, but you didn't think they were going to lose that early, that surprising. Well, today, we're going to see a life lived, and it's leading somewhere. This is Philip. We've been looking at him, and we're going to continue to see the unexpected. We're going to continue to see the path, not like what we would see it being. And we're going to continue to see the surprises along the way. 3 parts this morning: Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and Spirit-moved. Acts chapter 8. Verse 26 through 40. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your holy word. Help us to use it as a guide to our life, even in this morning as we dive in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we've been looking at the walk of this man named Philip for a few weeks now. And we're in the middle of this transition from the gospel in Jerusalem to the gospel being carried to the surrounding areas around them and eventually to the ends of the earth. And we said we are the ends of the earth. Without this, without the gospel, then the gospel not to us. Philip began his push by preaching in Samaria, and it caught the attention of the apostles. We studied something weird last week as the Holy Spirit did not fill believers until after the apostles arrived. We said this was the exception and not the rule, and we said the reason was to have a unified church. A church cannot be unified if the people involved are at odds with one another. In our case, in our text, it was Jew and Samaritan. God delaying his Spirit was in order to bring two people groups together. We're not done with the amazing and odd, as this week we turn our attention to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to start with Spirit-led. You have a new map on your handouts this morning, and that's where this takes place. You got them on the road, Jerusalem to Gaza, and you've got Azotus and up the coast to Caesarea. By now we've noticed a trend here. The Holy Spirit is important. That's an understatement. It started with Jesus and the 12. They could do nothing apart from the Spirit. It continued into Acts as the apostles were waiting for the Spirit. Peter, a coward until the Spirit came, right? Stephen, a deacon, turned martyr because the Spirit filled him with wisdom that angered the religious and spread the gospel as a result. Philip in Samaria, because driven by the Spirit and preaching by the Spirit and healing by the Spirit, and Samaritans were turning to a Jew by the name of Jesus as their path back to God. Without the Spirit, then no salvation for the apostles, no salvation for the Samaritans, and no salvation for me or for you. We're dead in our sins until the Spirit makes us born again, makes us new, drags us from our old lives and on our new path to heaven. The Holy Spirit or nothing else matters. Amen. With this in mind, we turn to our text today. Philip sees an Ethiopian eunuch on the road. Who is this? It tells us he's an official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He was in charge of her treasure, her money. He had come to worship in Jerusalem. This section says a lot where he is from, Africa, specifically south of Egypt. This would have been the Ethiopians. We're also given his profession, but what about eunuch? What does this word mean? We know eunuch as someone who's been castrated. This would fit, as he works closely with the queen, and this was an effective strategy in keeping the queen safe around him. This is one answer, but there's another to consider. It could be merely his title. There's a barrier here that's still common today. It's the language barrier. In the Greek, this word would be for someone who is castrated. But in the Hebrew, it also means someone important. Either fits here, and we know there's a history of Hebrew language in Africa, Joseph, Moses, Egypt. And we know this eunuch is reading Isaiah, which is written in Hebrew. Just something to think about here. What else are we told here? He worships God. Now, he wouldn't have been allowed in the inner courts of the temple. He was a eunuch, or he was an outsider. Either one would keep him out. This probably explains his statement about needing someone to guide him in his reading. He's not allowed in. So he cannot enter the inner courts, but still travels this long distance to worship. And while traveling, he's reading Isaiah. Now, we're going to get to that in a bit, but the interesting part about a eunuch reading Isaiah is found in Isaiah. Isaiah 56, verse 3, let not the foreigner who's joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give him my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons or daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You hear that? The eunuch who worships will have an everlasting place and shall not be cut off. This speaks directly of this man. And we're going to see that he is just a few chapters away from reading this in his travels. With all this in mind, let's get to our point. Spirit-led. Spirit-led. How did Philip get to the eunuch? Well, an angel of the Lord says, go here, to a specific place on this desert road. Remember, we've repeatedly discussed the fact that if an angel is present in our text, it is important. This is God's presence. This is help from God. This is a push from God. It's God's Spirit dwelling within Philip and present in the form of an angel. Not only this, but also when Philip arrives. Think about all the points along this road Philip could have been led to. 50 or 60 miles between Jerusalem and Gaza. Anywhere on this road, and the Spirit brought him to this place where the eunuch was traveling, and it tells him to go to the chariot. I don't know if this was an audible voice. I don't know what this interaction looked like, but what I do know is that we understand this event as Christians. We understand what it is to stand on the very precipice of a decision and to teeter on either side of it. We know what this moment is because we feel it often. The question is, how often do we lead into the Spirit's leading, whatever that is in your life, and how often do we hold back? Amen. Press forward in the Spirit or withdraw. When I think about this moment, I think about kids and swimming, specifically the diving board for the very first time. Maybe you're at a park somewhere and it's a high dive. Have any of you done this? Amen. Jump off the high dive. Not too many hands going up in the air. Down front. It doesn't have to be kids to hesitate, right? If it's very high up. It's not just children that hesitate. The nerves, the hesitation, the fear. Then you do it. You make the jump. It's exhilarating, and you run back to that platform to do it again. I think specifically my kids on one of our vacations, and they were on a high dive, and they're creeping toward the edge, and they're looking over, and then they're walking back, and then they're looking over, and then they're walking back, and then finally they do it. And then they spent the rest of the afternoon doing it over and over again. This is what we're seeing here in our text, and it's what we see in our life. It's not necessarily a salvation issue. Sinners saved by Jesus on that cross for us, that's who we are. We're in need of a Savior, and God became flesh and dwelt among us to be that Savior. Your hesitation or your withdrawal in a moment does not put in question your salvation, but look at what you miss out on. It's way better than a high dive. Look at what Philip is doing. You are part of the salvation of someone's soul. In one moment, a person headed to hell, and in the next, a sinner saved by faith in the Son, and the gospel from you led to this. Nothing better you could do with your life. You can name something, but it's not better than this. It's someone's eternity. What we need to ask ourselves is, what line are we teetering over? What moment are we missing out on? Who's on the other side of that line in your life waiting for you? Who is it? And what will it take for you to get there? Why is eternal life and eternal death not enough? Philip here was all in, Spirit-led. Look at him running to the chariot, driving down the road. Never forget that Philip is just like us. We like to read these passages and put these people on a pedestal. Philip is like you. He's a sinner saved and working to serve the church in the best way he knows how. And just like us, he's seen the Spirit move in the lives of those around him. And he will never miss an opportunity for the gospel. Will you? Why? Next, we're going to see Spirit-filled. We know that Philip is Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. We know this, but what about this eunuch? Earlier, we looked at the fact that Isaiah speaks to eunuchs being blessed in the kingdom if they love God. It just so happens that this particular eunuch is reading Isaiah at the time Philip approaches him. Not only this, but look at the passage he's reading. We say we believe God's hand and planning in our lives, but we often do not live like it. We just don't. Look at the words of Isaiah that this man is reading as Philip approaches him with the gospel. Like a sheep, he was led to slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Isaiah's words about Jesus and the cross. Think about that for a moment. Philip approaches to tell this man the gospel. That's what he's doing. To reveal to him that he is a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Savior was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This Savior came to earth to sacrifice himself as the spotless Lamb of God for all who believe. He approaches to share this as the eunuch is reading about this in Isaiah. Don't tell me God has no plans for you. You may be in a dark moment in your life, suffering you cannot see past, questioning your faith and your decisions and everything else you've ever done. And in those moments, your Father in heaven is still with you. He's guiding you. He's comforting you. He's sending people to you. Maybe he sent you here to Cache Creek and he has you stumbling across our Facebook page for the very first time in this very moment. His plans and his timing in our lives, and we must see it. We must. We are all the eunuch. We all need a helping hand. We all need the Spirit in our lives to lead us and Spirit-led people in our lives to step in when we fall short. We are also all Philip. We are all needed in someone else's life right now. Every single person hearing this right now has something in their life that either needs them to step up or needs others to step up for them. We all need to take a moment to realize that nothing is outside God. And we need a moment to realize which one of these people we are currently in our walk. Are we Philip in this moment in our lives and we need to be running to someone right now at all costs? Or are we the eunuch and are lost without gospel intervention? Which one is it? You need to be the comforter or you need comfort. You need to be the supporter or you need support. You need to be the one running with the gospel on your lips or you need salvation that the gospel offers. Which one is it? Spirit-led and Spirit-filled is what is on our pages today. What is going on in your life today? What is it? We also need to look here at the Spirit moving. The Spirit did move. What do I mean when we say this? Where did the Spirit move in our passage today? Well, it moved in all of it. The Spirit moved to get Philip to Samaria. Then the Spirit moved to get Philip to this road at this moment. So important, an angel was sent just to make sure Philip got the point. Go here. Maybe he was on the fence about doing something until the angel showed up. Sometimes we wish it was this obvious in our own lives that an angel would show up and say, "Get over there." We probably claim we would do things if we knew it was needed. If we knew it's what we're supposed to do, we would do it. If we knew it's what we were called to do, we would do it. You want to know what you're called to do? Then pick up this book. Read this guide to your life. Read the stories of Philip. Realize it says to love all, to help all, to share the gospel with all. It says believe and follow Jesus and help all in your path to do the same. No way to hide from its call in your life if you have read its pages. So an angel gets him here. And the Spirit moves Philip to the eunuch, and then the Spirit moves the eunuch. That's where we are in our text now. The eunuch looks up and sees a water source in the middle of a desert road. Chariot, traveling a desert road. He's in the middle of claiming faith in Jesus, and he looks up, and there's water. You don't think God's in this situation?
Amen.
Finds faith, wants to be baptized, looks up, passing by water. The church tradition in Ethiopia says that this man was the first Christian witness to them. Their first missionary. It's only a tradition and not Bible. We won't read it on these pages. But it sure explains why it was so important for Philip to be here.
Amen.
The eunuch believes and is baptized. The irony is he's already had faith in God. He made a 1,500-mile journey to Jerusalem to worship God and was turned away from worshiping the way he wanted because of who he was. Then, on a desert road, finds his Savior through the help of Philip, while reading Isaiah speak of that Savior. Turned away by religion, only to try to find true faith by true Christianity being lived out by Philip. I hope we can see that religious does not make you faithful. Religion does not make you holy. Spirit-filled belief in the Son is the only thing that delivers what you see. And it comes by the hand of God, through the servants of God, and He will find you no matter where you are in your life. I hope He's finding you right now. The Good Shepherd is who He is, and He will leave the 99 to find the one.
Amen.
And you may be the one, or you may know the one. And Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And He will come to you. He will come and He will bring you back home. Where's home? With the 99. If you feel alone, know that you're not alone because the flock will be with you always and the shepherd never sleeps. Your church is your specific flock. That's what it is. And you should be running back to them.
Amen.
So the Spirit moves here. But it moves in one more way, doesn't it? Verse 29, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. What happened to Philip here? Did he vanish? Was there a portal? He teleported? Beat me up, Scotty? What's going on here? Our minds in this technological world we live in go to all sorts of places when we read things like this. Maybe we go to Enoch, and he was not. What happened? Well, the real answer, we don't know the specifics, but we know the result. The result was Philip was no longer needed on the desert road, job completed, but he was instead needed at Azotus. Don't let the strangeness of the text blind you from the point. God will get you where you are needed. His hand in everything, and He will see you through, and wherever you end up is where He needs you. If you're Spirit-led, Spirit-moved. If you're stumbling on this moment here with Philip, where did he go? How did he go? If this is too fantastic for you to believe, then maybe we need to remember what we actually believe. We actually believe that God spoke into existence everything.
Amen.
He created it all. He also sustains everything and sent His Son to die for everything and sends His Spirit to make new all who believe. God in three persons working to make all things new. Every page of this book is His holy word and completely true, which means everything I just mentioned is true, and heaven and hell are true, and your eternity decided by faith is true.
Amen.
With all of this in mind, maybe, just maybe, God moving Philip to where He needed him isn't so big. Luke's wording here could be for something simple, that Philip just merely walked away until he found himself at his destination. Or it could be something more spectacular, and in either case, it was by the hand of God and for His glory.
Amen.
Also here, the eunuch was not too bothered by whatever the event was, because he could only rejoice in his newfound Savior. How often do we find ourselves messed up by some detail, some minor issue that makes no difference in whatever moment you find yourself in? We get so worked up over the minor that we miss what is going on around us.
Amen.
When I think about this, I think about when I was in Africa. I think about this village hanging out with these kids one afternoon. We're about to head back to town. I think I shared this before, but it was pouring down rain. Monsoon-like rain. The kind of rain that turns their dirt roads and dirt paths into mini rivers. That's what we're watching wash under this little village schoolhouse we're standing on. These kids had a couple of hours of walking ahead of them in some cases. And they're trying to split the difference here between waiting out the rain and not letting it get dark, because they did not want to walk in the dark. It was a different place at night. I ask a question. What do you guys think about this rain? I expected to hear them all talk poorly about it given their current circumstance, but they all looked at me and said, "We love the rain." Why? Well, I was caught up in the minor detail of getting wet, right? We never want to get wet when we're outside. We run from it. I was caught up in that minor detail, them getting wet while going home, and they saw a gift from God. Rain to them meant water to drink, and it meant food was growing. Do not get lost in the details. See the moments.
Amen.
See the Spirit moving. I want to close today by reading our last verse, as it's a statement about the life of Philip. Verse 40 here. "But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Every town between where he found himself and Caesarea heard the gospel from him. You have your map. It's up the Mediterranean Sea. You can see the coastline. Every town. There's a reason why he's called the evangelist. Our scripture calls him the evangelist. That's what the early church called him. He knew who Jesus was to him, and everyone else was going to know. Nothing would get in his way. He did not know which town would be his last. He did not know if he would be caught or killed. That's what's going on currently. Christians dying for what they believe. What he did know is who Jesus was, and that was enough for him. So what happened to Philip? How does his story end? Well, Acts 21, verse 8 says this. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, that's who we're talking about, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Caesarea was his final destination. He didn't know that. A family awaited him there. In the moment, Philip had no guarantee of tomorrow. And in the end, carrying the gospel to all towns led to marriage and daughters and a home. Where is the gospel leading you? What moment in your life are you going through or reliving that makes you think there is no future for you? Makes you think nothing will ever get better for you? Look to Philip. God had him and he has you. Something probably is happening in your life even now that reveals hope for you. Take a step back and see the moment and not just the details you don't like. Lean into your church. Lean into your faith. Lean into your God. You're never alone and are always important to the one who created and sustains you. As we leave today, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for each other's circumstances. Let's pray for the courage to lean into one another when needed. Let's pray for the courage to push out the gospel everywhere we go. We never know where it's going to take us if we are not going. If faith and salvation is what is missing in your life, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will have this Spirit and it will guide you along the way. Are we Philip? Are we the eunuch? The answer is we are both. We all need help from time to time and we all need to share Jesus. Where is your life leading you? That's the question. Where are you going? And will they know Jesus when you get there? Bring any needs at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your holy word. We just pray that we will allow it to be our guide. We will step out of our way. We will stop teetering to one side or the other, and we will just dive in. Father, help us read your word. Have it wash over us and renew us. Give us the courage to step out of this place, even today as we leave here, and to go somewhere and to share Jesus with them. Help us remember Philip, who went at all costs. He knew Jesus was enough. Help us be more like him. Father, as we leave, help us search our own hearts, our own lives, those around us. Who needs Jesus? Is it someone close? Is it us? Reveal this to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.